From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
God.
Oh, good morning, friends. How are you today? I'm Stacy Ann, and you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together on this third day of February. You know, and it dawned on me in just a few short days will be Valentine's Day. And as, you know, most traditional things couples do around Valentine's Day, right? They have a nice dinner. Maybe they go to a movie. Maybe they drive around town. Maybe they'll go to the coast and enjoy or go up to the mountains. And I'm just sitting here thinking, boy, it sure would be nice if things opened up, right? Wouldn't that be nice if we could eat inside a restaurant and we don't have to worry about being outside in the cold and not getting wet and all of those kinds of things? Now, I want to say kudos to many of the restaurants that have had to really revamp how they do everything. Bars and restaurants are making outside dining where they have the space. If they were blessed enough to have a parking lot or already kind of a deck outside, they've gotten grants. Many of them have gotten money to put these makeshift outside dining areas together and heating and all of that. And but it's interesting as I go to these places and I've had a chance to have breakfast and dinner and visit with friends at night socially at some of these places. I'm thinking, you know, I don't really know how the health authority and those that are making these kinds of decisions and pushing everybody outside in the cold, how that is any better or healthier than inside. And then I find out over the last week, I guess it was Friday. You may or may not have known this, but apparently Oregon Health Authority has authorized the use of the video lottery machines inside these places that have the licenses. They've been closed and shut down or turned off all this time. Apparently, you can sit at a video lottery machine and play games inside, but you can't eat or drink at the game. It's just, it makes no sense, no common sense at all. And yet I continue to wrestle with the fact that these business owners, and I talked to a friend yesterday, he's got several businesses in South Dakota, Nebraska, Wyoming, and Colorado. And, you know, just the challenges that each state and all the different laws, there's no uniform decisions across the board, of course, because everything is pretty much local. But the risk that they're taking these businesses to even start businesses and get the loans. And then you have the businesses that have the investors that have bought or built malls and strip malls and places for entrepreneurs to rent for their little business ideas, right? And yet we're still sitting in a moratorium where if you're renting or leasing, you're not obligated to pay your rent. But it's not forgiven, and certainly the people that own the land, they still have their bills to pay. They still have their mortgages. They're not forgiven. They don't get any break. And so can you see this rippling effect that is hitting our economy? It's like a bridge to me in my mind. I see this bridge 2 miles down. It's a clear day, and you can see that there's trouble ahead. You don't quite know what it is, but you know that there's trouble ahead, and it's a broken bridge, right? And a big old gap. And this is where I'm very curious, friends, where this is going and what the answer is. Now, I was over this last weekend, had an opportunity to attend a Western Liberty Network training, an advocacy training. It was a bipartisan, a nonpartisan event. What does that mean? Well, it means it wasn't Republican or Democrat or Libertarian. They don't endorse it. It's a 501c3 organization that equips you and I, ordinary people, on how to engage in the process and potentially even run. And moreover, they really equip at helping us run for those elected nonpartisan seats, like they're supposed to be anyway, city council and the water board and local dog catcher and things like that, right? How do you get that started? How do you get those starts in policy making and reviewing policy and getting that kind of experience? Because ideally from there, then you would want to go to commission or maybe to the House or the Senate at the state house or even further on getting that experience. And so this, it was very, very good to look at this training and get this training and be reminded that our local government, we've talked a lot about that here, our local government, the government closest to us, is the government that impacts us the most, right? And so we need to have a way to communicate with our local leaders. Now, there is some good news in our state. We've got some help and reinforcement coming, wisdom, continued training, ways that we can get plugged in. And I want to encourage you, if you're in the Salem area and you haven't registered yet, there's a citizen class. And it's, and if you're a person of faith, it's very, very good. And I have a friend who's attending it online right now, a biblical citizenship class with the Patriot Academy. We're going to have this class here in Salem at the People's Church, and it's going to kick off on that Valentine's Day. So what a great place to go for Valentine's Day at the People's Church. You need to get signed up, patriotacademy.com/coach/register, and then the number 686. So we'll put a link, and we have a link on our Facebook page. By the way, just want to give you a heads up, too. Our streaming on the internet at kslm.news. So if you have friends or usually go there to listen, our streaming on our website is down because we have a server that's down and they're working on it. If you have, if you listen via our app on your phone or maybe Alexa through TuneIn or Simple Radio, you can still hear us. But our website streaming is down at the moment, and we're working on that. Another opportunity for you to connect locally, and there, I just saw yesterday some billboards popping up on this. There is a breakfast, a virtual breakfast, by the way, with a new chief of police through the Salem Police Foundation, and you can sign up for that at the salempolicefoundation.org. And that is at 8 a.m. The new police chief will be there. And I think they're going to maybe do some virtual tours of some videos of the new building here in Salem. So that's good news, too. And then on the 19th and 20th of February, and I'm excited. I got to talk to Pastor Lou yesterday on the phone, and next week he'll come on the air with us. The River Church. It's the River Church is hosting Chris Ann Hall on February 19th and 20th, and she is a Constitution attorney. And she is very, very good about the Constitution, and she's very, very good about equipping you and I as everyday citizens on what our constitutional rights are. Because, you know, if we don't know that rights are being taken away, you know, that's not good either. And so there are a lot of things here happening in Oregon. For instance, meetings being held in closed meetings being held, making public decisions, which is a violation of the law. And Jeff talked about that in the first couple hours during political coffee. We need to be engaged. We need to be have the education so we can engage our local officials with the truth and say, nope, we don't want you doing this to us during this particular time. So the Western Liberty Network had this fantastic training. I had an opportunity to take several pages of notes. I was sitting by other advocates and other folks that are looking at running campaigns for the very first time, people talking about running for governor, people talking about running for school board. It was an incredible time. And we had a lineup of speakers that were just fantastic. To have this kind of training, to have this kind of exposure was phenomenal. And I'm excited to bring on the air with us today this gentleman. And I think you're there on the air with me, Steve. How are you?
Hi, Stacey Ann. I'm doing very well. It's great to be on your show.
Well, good morning to you. It's early here, a little bit later where you're at. And I just have to say, how impressed I was with your presentation. I know it's not easy to do presentations via Zoom to a live audience, and you handled it so very well. And I want to tell our listeners a little bit about you. You're a writer, you're a commentator on economic issues, and you have been involved with the Heritage Foundation. And probably your most notable over the last few years is you've been an economic advisor to President Donald Trump. How did that even come about?
Well, I wrote a book called Trumponomics last year that really explains how Larry Kudlow and I got involved with Donald Trump. And he was amazing man. We met him in early 2016 when he first started running for president, and he was just such a superstar, a superstar for our country. And I have gained nothing but admiration for him, what he did for our economy. I know some people don't like his personality and behavior, and sometimes I don't. But, oh, my gosh, what he did for the economy and rebuilding our manufacturing sector, what he did for minorities, lowest unemployment rate, lowest poverty rate ever for minorities. I could go on and on. The booming stock market, the fact that we were able to create, we had 7 million surplus jobs under Trump. We had more jobs than people to fill them. That's not the first time that's ever happened in our country. So very proud to have worked for Donald Trump. I'm heartbroken. That he is not still president, because I think we'd be in much better financial shape if he were. But what I worked on with him. We did the tax plan. We did the deregulation. We promoted American energy independence for the first time in a year of my lifetime. I mean, I could go on and on about the great things that happened. Under the Trump presidency for the American economy.
I absolutely love, and I shared this with you during our meeting, that you and I had, during this training during the Western Liberty Network, you had put up your slide presentation, and you had incredible charts, facts, under Trump, how the average American was impacted in a positive way. And friends and listeners of this show, you know that I've been saying all along, especially this last year or under COVID, where are the charts on common sense? The factual things that's affecting you and I every day, it seems like there are no charts measuring common sense. And I have to say, Steve, when I saw these charts, I'm like, here's common sense right in front of our nose. Talk to us a little bit about how important it is that we bring in the conversation the facts. And we've only got a few seconds left. I'm going to hold that. I'm going to have you get your thoughts on that question when we come back from this break. I'm looking at our time. We're running short here. But I want you to talk to us about how it's important that we be equipped with facts in these days that we're living in this economy. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. So glad to have Stephen Moore on the air with me today as we're talking about economy, things that are impacting you and I in our pocketbook. That's up close and personal this morning. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, and I want to say if it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. It's my friend Michelle Elliott's birthday today. Happy birthday, Michelle. Hope it's the best day ever. Yes, and I have Steve Moore on the air with me this morning, and I'm so glad to have you here. And with your background, Steve, in regards to economy and economics, it sounds like you have a friend there in the background.
What I'm doing is I'm sheltering at home. They've got me shut down. So
I love
by the
it.
Way, we just we had a foot of snow.
Oh yes. Yes, that wonderful white fluffy stuff that can interrupt our plans, right? Yes, I lived for many years in South Dakota, so I'm well familiar with that white fluffy stuff, and I'm glad to be out in Oregon and have the rain instead. I'll tell you that much. But let's talk a little bit about basics in economy and economics. Let's remind folks again about how important it is to make an economy boom. It certainly isn't more regulation and taxes, correct? And it's real troubling what we're seeing in the last few days.
No, I would say so. I mean, I'm heartsick about this because I think everything we're doing in Washington right now is just catastrophically wrong. You know, we shut down the Keystone XL pipeline under Biden. We're stopping the drilling of our oil and gas and the mining of our coal. We get 80% of our energy from fossil fuels. So how are we possibly going to be able to provide the energy we need for our economy without that 80% that comes from low-priced coal and natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we've seen the latest thing is this absolutely outrageous $1.9 trillion spending bill. By the way, a trillion is $1 million. So
mm-hmm.
we're talking about massive amounts of money, unheard of before in American history, you know, with the deal with COVID, when they've already got $1 trillion that they haven't already spent, Stacey Ann,
mm-hmm.
and now they want to spend another $1.9 trillion. We're going to bankrupt our country. We're going to have a financial crisis and bring the economy to its knees if we keep spending and borrowing and printing money. I mean, my head is spinning around right now.
Well, and when we talk about the power of the dollar worldwide in the economy, and we look at how that is going to affect us, I think normal everyday people, a lot of us are so just want to make a living. We want things opened up. We want our businesses to prosper. We want our kids to do well. You know, just looking at it from that viewpoint, sometimes we don't pay attention to some of these things going on in Congress, or they're so burnt out by the political process and they don't realize how this is impacting our bottom line.
Well, are you old enough to remember the 1970s?
I was born in 69.
Okay, well, you know, I was born in 60, so I'm a little
mm-hmm.
older than you are. But, you know, I remember very vividly, you know, when I was a kid, you know, growing up, and the gasoline lines and the massive
right.
inflation in our economy. And then remember we had the Saudis and the
mm-hmm.
OPEC, the oil cartel had like a knife at our neck in the United States. All they had to do was flick a switch and they could put us into a recession.
It was like rationing.
You know, so,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And under Trump, you know, we regained energy independence. We didn't have to rely. We were selling oil, not buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now it's like Biden wants to reverse that. Now we're going to have to get our energy from Saudi Arabia and Russia and Venezuela and countries that hate us. I just don't understand the logic of it.
Well, and it's certainly not an America first perspective at all.
Sure.
And you've written on that recently about
right.
we need to get back to that perspective. And these are red flags in many areas in our economy. When we're laying people off, we already have so many people that have reduced hours or laid off because of COVID. It certainly doesn't seem like a pathway to growth and helping everyday ordinary Americans, these reversals on policies. Now, under the Trump administration, my understanding, there was a lot of regulations that were changed to open things mm-hmm. up, correct?
Yeah, remember a lot of your listeners will remember one of Trump's great promises, something he fulfilled. By the way, what a shock that a politician actually did what he said he was going to
exactly.
do. But remember when he used to say that we're going to, for every new regulation, we're going to repeal two regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he actually lied a little bit, because instead of two regulations for every new regulation, he actually did four or five or six.
Incredible.
And so we had that basically, you know, the federal government is an octopus, right, with tentacles that it puts around the necks of our small businesses, and it smothers them. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we took away the regulatory octopus, and boy, did the economy boom, and especially small businesses. And now we've got the regulatory octopus back big time. And Biden actually repealed Trump's executive order that basically said, you know, no new regulations unless we get rid of new old ones. And Biden said, no, we don't want to do this. We don't want to frustrate our regulators. It's like liberals act like regulation is a good thing.
Hmm.
Now, we're all for clean water and clean air and safe financial markets and that kind of thing. But come on, regulations are just really hurting our manufacturing, our construction industry, our blue-collar workers. By the way, we have the safest water, the safest air in the world. We have the safest workplaces in the world. And yet China is now going to eat our lunch because they don't have the regulations.
Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing for us to remember, listeners, is that under this new administration, there's a lot of uncertainty. They're still kind of making it along as they go. We don't really know what to expect. And in fact, even with taxes right around the corner, February 12th, people can't even file their taxes right now until, my understanding, February 12th. That's unheard of. Usually you can do it right away. There's so many changes to the laws that impacting our bottom line and our own home economics, let alone businesses and all these other regulations. I'm so glad to have you on the air with me, Steve. I'm excited to ask you a few more questions when we come back from this break, if you'll hold on with us. I want to talk a little bit more about what we can do here and now and who we need to talk to about these laws that are affecting us and these regulations that are affecting us. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, friends. We're so glad to have you along on this wonderful Wednesday, and we are continuing the conversation with Steve Moore. I want to remind you that our show today is brought to you by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency. I want you to talk to Bill if you have any insurance needs for you personally, or maybe you have a pet that needs insured, or your business. Give Bill a call. His phone number is 503-885-0789. You can go to SunderlandAgency.com. And I want to remind you, too, this will be a podcast later on our website at KSLM.news. If you want to share this show and any other of our shows with your friends and family, you can grab the link from our podcast and put it on your social media or through email as well. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a
good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. 37 degrees here at the KSLM studio, 8:35 in the morning. I want to remind you, if you have a community event coming up, we would love, absolutely love, to help promote your community event. Send it to me at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. And I have Steve Moore on the air with me. He's an economic advisor, and I'm telling you, this man is a wealth of knowledge and perspective and insight and wisdom. And I want to say, Steve, thanks for telling me about the Daybreak Insider. The first look at the top stories of the day. And in the story today, the very first one is Biden on unprecedented pace of executive orders. And the interesting thing, it says as of Sunday, 25 executive orders, 10 presidential memos, and 4 proclamations. Biden defended himself with this twisted excuse: I'm not making new law. I'm eliminating bad policy. And I just kind of I don't even have words. It kind of, it makes me want to cry is what it does, because so many of the policies and the way that Trump had set up the last 4 years, it really felt like he was a champion of the everyday person and really wanting to see their individual family better off and making more money. And the reality is when we tax the individual families and the businesses and the burden is put on them, the economy, I think, falters because, and there's charts to prove it, because of the burden. And I'm not sure. I know you wrote an article or was quoted in an article in regards to urging Biden, his first 100 days should put the economy first and get people back to work. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, where to begin? Look, Biden's off to, if you believe in free enterprise and liberty and free markets, you know, Biden's off to just a horrible start. This is not a unity agenda. Remember mm-hmm. when Biden said in his inauguration, this is a time to unite the country.
Exactly.
And of course, all he's done since then is disunite the country. And mm-hmm. you see that with the sham impeachment they want to do. And then they're just repealing one thing after another. They're not getting any, even trying to get a single Republican vote for this one absurd $1.9 trillion bill, which basically is just a giveaway to teachers unions and other Democratic constituencies. So I'm very disturbed about it. I got to tell you, I'm really nervous about our country right now. I think, you've got some very hard left people running the government in Washington right now. It's Susan Rice and others. I think, basically Biden is just signing the pieces of paper that are put in front of his face. And, have you seen on YouTube that, you know, Biden is signing an executive order. He says, I don't even know what this is, you know. So
Oh, boy.
It's all being run by his left-wing staff. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, you know, I think the longer Trump is going to be out of office, the more people are going to really miss his policies that, you know, as I said, created the lowest unemployment rate, the lowest poverty rate, the highest wage gains, the biggest income gains for Americans in America, you know, basically in the history of our country. So it was a spectacular success, but now what Biden is doing is trying to erase those policies. And, you know, if you twist the dials in the right direction, you get faster growth. If you twist the dials back in the wrong direction, guess what? You get more joblessness. And we estimate that the Biden stimulus plan will lose 5 million jobs because under the Biden plan, they're providing $400 a week extra unemployment benefits for unemployed workers. And look, I'm in favor of providing unemployment benefits for people, but at $400 a week plus the normal benefit, two-thirds of unemployed workers are being paid more money to stay on the couch than to go back to the job.
There's no motivation. There's no incentive.
There's no reward.
And
now,
that's
some people will go back to the job because they, you know, like a lot of us, we want to be busy. We want to be productive. We want to be, you know, contributing. But, you know, if you're a truck driver or you're working in a factory, you've got a really tough job, you know, and you can see that the person next to you is sitting at home watching TV while you're working and they're making more money than you are. I mean, how in the world is that fair?
Well, and that's exactly right, because it seems like out of this administration, it's all about being fair. At least that's their words, but their action doesn't line up with the words. And when we talk about raising minimum wage to $15 an hour, well, we just heard in that little news break there by Lou Dobbs that Kroger in California have to adjust to this in Long Beach, which is somewhere I lived as a kid. They have to close stores to accommodate, you know, and shift so that these increases really do get passed down to the consumer. And I, at the cash register or at the tax time, you know, all of that, people don't see, there's like a huge disconnect. Help us bridge that. Help us understand how this administration and who we vote for, elections have consequences, right?
And yeah, they sure do.
And so where do we go from here, Steve?
Well, let's talk about the $15 minimum wage for a minute. You know, look, I'm for high wages. I want American workers to be the highest paid, best paid workers in the world. And I want people's incomes to go up and salaries and benefits. But you need small businesses to do that. So why are we choking off our small businesses when they create 60% of the jobs? I mean, what you're doing there is you're killing the goose that lays the golden eggs. And my favorite example of this is, you know, the Keystone Pipeline, which was canceled by Biden on the first day. Those aren't $15 an hour jobs. Those are $50, $60, $70, $80 an hour
jobs.
People are lining up for those jobs. Those are pipe fitters, construction workers, manufacturing workers. They are the truckers that have to transport the steel, the steel workers. Think of all the jobs that we put out of business there. And as I said, they pay four, five, six times the minimum wage. So if they're so concerned about higher wages for workers, why is Biden destroying jobs? I don't even get the logic.
Well, and they try to sell it, the bill of sale of cleaner, more effective for the environment. And the reality is it isn't, because you're hauling them in other ways, you know, across the ocean where there can be spills, you know, on the train tracks. I mean, there's other ways. And it's, again, their words don't line up with their actions. And we need to know what we can do to tell our elected leaders, look, you need to do it differently. We need to be active and engaged in this process, don't we?
Well, people have to get active in politics, and people have to get, you know, it's not just your vote, it's your everyday actions. You know, find out what groups, what companies are supporting left-wing causes. Maybe we shouldn't be buying the products of you know, some of these liberal companies that fund, you know, the anti-freedom movement. We need to be, you know, vigilant. And by the way, anybody who wants to get our prosperity hotline every morning, it's free. All you have to do is just go to Committee to Unleash Prosperity website, Committee to Unleash Prosperity, and just sign up, and we'll send it to you for free. It's become very, very popular with people. And you can read it. It's not a long read. It's 5 minutes. It's just pictures and headlines and, you know, facts that are really important. You know, for example, did you know that in January, the month just completed, for the first time in America, in your and my lifetime, you know how much oil we imported from Saudi Arabia?
No idea.
Zero.
In January? Wow.
That's the first, yes. In Donald Trump's last month in office, because we gained energy independence, we imported zero oil from Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
Now, I think that's probably going to be the last time that happens in 4 years, because Biden is shutting down American oil, so that means we're going to have to buy it from Saudi Arabia. And somebody has to explain to me the logic of that. Why is it better that we get the oil from Saudi Arabia than we get it from Canada, South and North Dakota? I'm mystified.
Yeah, it doesn't make, again, that common sense. It doesn't roll through there very well. And so that was here in January at the end of his term, and it'll be interesting to compare and contrast, you know, even 2 years from now, the difference. And we certainly can see it, because I've watched this on social media pop up from Arkansas, South Dakota, Texas. People are saying gas is up 20 cents, gas is up 30 cents, gas is up. Yeah. You know, they're already seeing that rippling
logical,
effect.
Right? Because you know, the first rule of economics is, if you reduce the supply of something, what happens to its price?
Mm-hmm.
It goes up. If you increase the supply by increasing American oil, then the price goes down. And so under Trump, we have big reductions in the gas price. You're going to start to feel the pain at the gas pump. Where I live in Virginia, we have seen about a 30-cent increase in the gas price. And it's going to continue to go up, because we're stupidly constraining the supply because we're not producing American energy. And look, I'm for all types of energy. I'm for nuclear power, I'm for natural gas, I'm for oil, gas, coal, where it makes sense, wind and solar power. But, you know, the idea that we're, you know how much of our energy today comes from wind and solar power?
Oh, probably less than 20%, I'm guessing.
Oh, what is that? 5%.
Whoa.
5%.
Mm.
So how are we going to power our economy if we only get 5% of our, even if we quadrupled it to 20%, as you just said, we'd still need 80% from somewhere else. So.
Yeah, and these are discussions that we need to be familiar with, friends and listeners, as we have these conversations with people that we know here locally, and their mindset is that we're doing so much better under this new administration, and yet, as they go along, they're going to see more and more of their paycheck diminishing, even at the grocery store, you know?
I'll just say one last thing, and then I got to hop off, which is, you know, that the economy is well teed up to have a blockbuster, a monster year for 2021. I mean, thanks to Donald J. Trump, we've got the vaccine. You know, that happened under Trump, thanks to Operation Warp Speed. We're getting this out there that, you know, millions and millions of people are going to be vaccinated and immunized from the disease. And once that happens, you know, if Biden would just do nothing, just stop, Joe, we don't need your help, just get out of the way, the economy is going to boom in 2021. But if we keep doing these bad policies, anti-energy, higher taxes, higher regulation, you know, more debt, then I really worry about our future. So let's get it right. Let's do the right thing for America. Joe, put jobs first.
Yes, and put our economy first. Put the American people first. Follow on. Keep on that train. keep moving forward for all of us. My question for you is, how do people find you? Or do you have a website? Or you talked a little bit about
this. Go to Committee to Unleash Prosperity. That's Steve Forbes, Nart Laffer, and Steve Moore. Committee to Unleash Prosperity. And just, you know, if you want to sign up for the hotline, just say, you know, just give us your email. We'll send it to you every morning. I know you're starting to get it. And, you know, it's very popular, folks, and it's a good way to argue with your liberal friends. So thanks so much for having me on the show, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Well, thank you, Steve. You have a wonderful day, and maybe you build too. A snowman or something today, huh? All right. Have a great day. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. So fun to be able to tap into wisdom like that for our economy and be reminded. Oh, friends, I know we don't need to remind how good it was under the Trump administration, but there are good policies that we can maybe stand guard of and let our local leaders know that we want to keep them in play as we move forward. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, and we'll return after this. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Good morning, Salem. Glad to have you tuning in on this wonderful Wednesday. I'm Stacey Ann, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. This last segment, I'm going to open up the phone lines So great to have Steve on the air with us, giving us his wisdom. And I want to hear from you and any insight or anything that maybe he triggered in you and some thoughts that you want to share. I'm going to open up the line right now. Good morning. I believe I have Gail on the line with me. How are you today?
Good morning, Stacey. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I was tracking pretty much with Steve and appreciating his call until the very last, when he spoke of, you know, warp speed and getting the vaccinations out. I have been praying daily that the public will open their eyes. I think that they're being fooled because our good president, who has done so much, and I'm talking about President Trump, you know, if we look at the warp speed and everything that was going on, I believe it was Pence who was in charge of that.
Right, the response to the coronavirus, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we know what standing Vice President Pence has now.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So I would just like to caution people to do their research, because this virus is evil and it is not going to lessen the coronavirus. In fact, they talk about a spike. Well, if everybody gets vaccinated, we will see that spike, is my understanding from the research that I've done, because it is intended to create that spike to make the mask seem more necessary and more vaccines seem more necessary. And not only does it possibly alter our DNA, we're seeing more and more side effects and death from it.
It's troubling to me, Gail, and I share your sentiments personally as well. And I'm wondering, again, filtering through the common sense filter, right? I can't help but think, and I can't think for President Trump, I can't put words in his mouth, but maybe it was like warp speed pathway to back to normal. You know, if everybody got a vaccine and got, then they can relieve of the mask, businesses, kids can go back to school. Perhaps that was something they were thinking could happen. Let's push this ahead so we can get back, get it out of the way and move forward. The trouble is that not only is there questions about the vaccine and what it's doing to people and the danger potentially there, but the trouble for me is I don't see any relief. Now they're talking and threatening doubling up on masks, and they're, you know,
exactly.
Even if you've had coronavirus, you still have to wear a mask. And now if you're on a plane and you refuse to wear it, you can have federal punishment through a CDC regulation. I don't understand how that can be possible. There's all of these things that you and I are not seeing any kind of relief, certainly not here in Oregon. I know other parts of the country, Florida and even in South Dakota, they just had a big old stock show and rodeo in South Dakota. Hundreds of people, my mom and dad sent me pictures, and they're enjoying a wonderful rodeo, and many of the people weren't wearing masks, you
of
know,
course,
and they're living life and free and with liberty, and people who wanted to wear masks, they could, but most people were not. And so I think you're right. I do think, what of Steve's comments? We talked about the vaccination, that kind of, oh, I don't know about that, but what did he say that really made sense to you today?
When he was, you know, I'm going to have to remove myself from this vaccine. It was towards the end of the conversation, the beginning of the conversation, I was having a little bit of problems with, but towards the end, let me see, Stacey, I'm so wrapped up in this vaccine business
I gotcha.
And the harm it's doing to
mm-hmm,
people
mm-hmm.
that I'm having trouble going back to what it was that I appreciated that he said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I do know that when he trained us over the weekend, the Western Liberty Network training, you know, he's written this book, Trump Economics, something like that. I'll have to look it up and I'll put it up on the show plan. But he also talked about regaining, ground economically. And he had charts that showed that when Trump deregulated things, there was growth. And I love the fact that he said that Trump had a policy, an executive order. For every new regulation, they were going to get rid of at least two. And Steve shared that there was like three or four usually. And that's one of the things that Biden has reversed. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no. I'm a bad one to ask for that because I'm going along with a few conspiracy theories and I'm holding out hope yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I feel like, we've got Biden on tape saying that to rule by executive order is dictatorship. Mm-hmm. Those words came out of his own mouth.
Right.
And what is he doing? So, we must somehow combat the dictatorship.
Yes, and we've got to stay involved and engage locally. It starts with having the materials, understanding where we're at, having the facts, right, and stay engaged
locally. I remember what he sparked me a little bit, a lot, in fact, is to support our local businesses that stand with us and take what money we have away from those people who are doing just what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Be it Amazon, be it Facebook, the big boxes, whoever is feeding into what we don't want.
That's exactly right. And we still have that power and control to walk into those places and honor them with our purchases, right? And we have that purchase power. We can vote with our feet, with our, our keypads, ordering things online. And I encourage people to support our local businesses, continue to support our local businesses. They are struggling. And I don't know how much longer some of these restaurants, even with their, moving outdoors from indoors, how much longer they can hold on, because it's just not meeting their bills and their obligations. And so we're doing our part. Gail, I'm so glad to have you on the air with me again today. And I thank you for calling in. I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. So fun to open up the phone lines and talk with you and get your feedback. And Gail has some great points. There's things that we need to really think through for our own selves and also our family members and make sure that they're equipped with the details on why not potentially to get the vaccination and the information and really having our stories backed up, right, with facts. That's important in this cancel culture. Even when we share things on Facebook, even if they're factual, they're trying to say that it's not factual. And there's news stories now. There's news stories of Newsmax. I guess they had Mike Lindell on the show. We're going to interview him. And the moment he started talking about fraudulent activity in the election, the guy got upset and he tried to talk over him. And he walked out. And so many of us are voting with our keyboard and we're going to Newsmax TV and we are sharing our viewer feedback with them on how unprofessional he was. Very disturbing to me because many of us have gone to Newsmax from other news sources that we're watching. So there's ways that we can let people know and let these businesses know that we're not pleased. And it's important that we do that. Thank you for tuning in on this wonderful Wednesday, my friend. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Mike Gallagher coming up. And 6 o'clock tonight, we've added Dan Bongino to the playlist. Yes, listen to him. I listened last night for the first time. He did a great job. Thank you for tuning in. Have a blessed day. And don't forget, KSLM.news for the podcast. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.